From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now, from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
You are tuned into Open Journal, a special In Exile edition, right here on Pacifica Radio 90.1 FM and digital channel HD1. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the gift of your time and support that allow us the freedom to be here with you. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Tracy J is founder of The Quiet Rebel, an organization committed to creating space for your voice since 2014. Tracy and her team believe that conversation fuels connection and that conversations are the cornerstones of all relationships, including and especially the conversation we have with ourselves. Tracy, as always, welcome to Open Journal, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be
glad
here.
To have you.
Glad to have you back, Tracy. It's been a little over a year. I think we visited with you in one of our last pre-pandemic editions of Open Journal in the early part of 2020. So for folks who aren't familiar yet, what is the Quiet Rebel, or who is the Quiet Rebel, and why was this started in 2014?
So I am the Quiet Rebel, both in business and in life. It is the name of my company, but it's also how I show up in the world. And it was created initially as a space to help people get in touch with themselves, and has evolved into a space to help people get in touch with each other.
So has it evolved into like a networking function? Is that what you mean by that?
Not entirely. I imagine some networking comes out of it, but that's not necessarily the goal. The goal is to give people space to have conversations that they might not otherwise have. Particularly right now, the hard conversation about race and culture. And giving people space to share their lived experience.
So the experiences may vary, physical engagement between one human being and another, that it's not necessarily a theory or a curriculum or a book, but it is the physical space together.
It is the physical space together, and it's not a book yet, but it is but it is a method. Like, there's a particular method and a rhythm to the way that we gather and the way that we hold conversations, so much so that there's recently a defended dissertation about this method of gathering in this particular way of sharing lived experience. So yes, there's a rhythm and a method.
So during these days, how has that impacted your ability to be a facilitator of communication when people are, as we are in this session here, seeing each other, hearing each other, but physically distant from each other? Has that had a big impact on how you can do what you do?
I would say the short answer is yes, it has impacted it, but I would also add that it's impacted it positively. Because we can gather people from wherever they are in the world, and we're not relying on a physical space in order to do that.
And have you seen, and when we last met a year ago, you were just on the cusp of doing your event 100 Voices, a woman's gender dialogue on race and culture. That was just a concept. How has this virtual experience grown from that, which was this daunting concept, to a global conversation? How did that transition happen?
So my friend and colleague, Megan, who I met in grad school while I thought that I was going to get a PhD and decided against it, having seen the event happen in Houston, invited me to recreate it for Seattle. And that was before the world shut down entirely. So we set out to plan an event for Seattle. And then we heard COVID alerts everywhere. And we're like, no, can't go to Seattle. So how do we still make this happen? And we decided we would take a chance and try to do it virtually. But in the process of planning for a summer event, a virtual summer event, we, all of us witnessed the murder of George Floyd, and that changed the, I want to say, importance of the conversation. I always felt like it was important. It's a conversation I've wanted to have since ever. But other people started to see how important it was to just sit with other humans and get to hear somebody else's experience.
So Tracy, in the in this past week, we've witnessed the somewhat unique in my memory of American history, conviction of a police officer for, you mentioned George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, the officer most directly responsible for his murder, actually convicted in Minneapolis last week. What has been your immediate feeling about that, and how do you feel looking back at it and then looking ahead from that verdict?
I have described it recently as deceptive warmth. You know, when you live in Houston, it gets cold right around 60 degrees. and if the sun is shining, which it often does, we tend to think it's warmer than it is. And so that is how I feel about this particular outcome, that it feels warm and fuzzy, right? Yay, conviction. But it was a conviction for which so many of us were holding our breaths and waiting to see if it would in fact come that way, because we know of the history of this country and how sometimes there are loopholes in our system that that allow for officers to go free when they have committed murder. So it's still kind of cold, even though the sun came out. But I am hopeful. I'm hopeful that police systems in general will start to shift. I'm hopeful that that regular citizens will see the need for intervention. Had it not been for the 17-year-old girl who took out her camera and started filming, this could have gone a completely different way. And so, you know, not that I'm advocating for people to put themselves in harm's way or for them to interrupt police in their regular line of duty, but to just be witness, to just make space for accountability.
That's very, I mean, that is a very healthy shift that I think we all have to do from this, is to one, remain vigilant, and two, to do our part in adjusting and being a part of the positive change. Are there any particular conversations around this that the Quiet Rebel will be doing in general? I know you do send out on Tuesdays, a newsletter, but how has this impacted your conversations and your upcoming conversations?
Well, I'm hoping to be able to have more conversations like this With governments, with police officers, with citizens. And I am, as always, continuing to field invitations from groups. I'm excited right now that there's a synagogue, local synagogue in Houston that has reached out and is partnering with a predominantly Black congregation in another state to host a conversation. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, right? And people are looking for ways to begin this dialogue, and I am happy to be light on that path.
Mm-hmm. Bravo.
You are tuned into Open Journal on Pacifica Radio 90.1 FM. This is Open Journal, a special In Exile edition. We thank you for joining us. We're visiting with Tracy J., the Quiet Rebel. I'm Dwayne Bradley with Stephanie Coleman.
Indeed. You know, in January, you created a challenge called No New Friends, and it's K-N-O-W. Could you speak to that and what that, what was the sort of motivation behind that and the impact of that challenge?
So No New Friends, No with a K, was designed for us to get to know some people in a different way. And not to necessarily talk about heavy things. I spend a lot of time talking about heavy things. And so to give people space to just know a new person that they've never met before. And so we used four things over the course of 4 weeks. We shared images from our phones or social media. We also shared playlists. So we connected over music. We shared things to watch on television. And also we did a walking and talking event where they went with their partner on a what my friend Laura calls a telewalk. I think you all know Laura. You met Laura. Laura Conley.
Yeah,
Conley on the
indeed.
Show. Yeah.
Yes.
So we did a telewalk where you got on the phone with your friend and each of you walked wherever you were. And walked and talked. So we had about, 40 people who participated in January, and I'm looking to do it again probably in May. And the information will be on my website whenever it goes live. Stephanie knows about my newsletter, that it comes out on a Tuesday, not every Tuesday, not on any particular Tuesday, but when it comes out, it's on a Tuesday. And so that's kind of the rhythm of my life. It's things happen as they can, when they can, unless somebody holds me to a date.
So, Tracy, I wanted to ask you.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, you're a mom. You're connected to a younger tech-savvy generation. So you've mentioned some of the advantage, in a way, of being able to use technology to bring people together from further distances to have conversation. How do you see, or what do you think the art of conversation will evolve in light of the fact that Zooming a little over a year ago was something people didn't know what that meant? And now everybody does it.
Well, I think we should just get used to it, especially with the number of people have gone to like work from home and enjoy the ability to work from home. I think we should just be ready for this to be a regular part of life. And also because we had a pandemic, we are still in a pandemic, which for most of us has never occurred in our lifetimes. And so if it has occurred once, kind of like a hurricane, it could happen again. I'm not suggesting that I'm looking forward to that, but it's a possibility. And so, so knowing that those things do happen, that they can happen, I think we should just be prepared to put health first and to see this form of communication as part of our ongoing future.
You know, that seems to be a trend for those who are moving through this pandemic and finding, I wouldn't say some degree of prosperity, but the positive perspective on evolving through it seems to be a very healthy approach to navigating it. Do you find that challenging, or is that your personality, or do you really work on saying, how can I turn this, you know, glass half full approach into my real reality?
So I am, I would not consider myself necessarily an optimist. I consider myself a realist, but I'm also an introvert. So having the space to be alone in my, with myself is really important to me. And also, like, this whole, like, glass half empty, glass half full situation, I just think, does the glass have something in it? Because the glass
it's the simple things.
It's so simple, right? Like, I have had many empty glasses in my life. So when the glass has anything in it, that's a plus for me.
It is so great to see you, Tracy. It's, you know, it's even with our last guest, you know, it has been a pandemic. It has been complicated, but it's like flowers growing out of the concrete. You know, it's just nice to see that there is some positive and there is some prosperity and movement is still happening. So we're excited for you.
Mm-hmm. We got to make the best out of what we get, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Is there water in the glass?
That should be a t-shirt. That is excellent. You know, it's really exciting to see, not only do you have these conversations, but I visited your website, which is edgy and cool, and see that your events are like the United Nations of human beings. Like, it's different individuals of so many diverse walks of life. How did you accomplish that? What do you feel is that magnet that brings in such different ages and religions and races and personalities?
Well, invitation is my love language. I know it's not one of the ones that's on the list of the five love languages, but it is it is certainly mine. I really love invitations. I really appreciate that when you get invited, it means that somebody really wants you there, but it also gives you the space to say yes or no. Invitations can be declined or accepted. And so once we did the first 100 Voices event, other people saw value in it and they invited us. And so so that is the way that it has grown. That is the way that it continues to grow. It is the value of invitation.
You know, it's as you talk about invitation, I want to sort of one ask you, why is it especially important for women to have such dialogue and these moments to unwind? And in addition to that, how can people reach you? So we'll sort of start with why is it so important for women to take this time and moment?
Well, I started this work with women, but it's also open to men and people of all genders. But I started with women because, one, I don't think our voices are heard loud enough, often enough, and we have a lot to say. And also because men have been in charge for a long time and, well, let's just say it hasn't always gone well. So...
A little diversity of voice.
I love men, don't get me wrong. Men are great. And also, make room for somebody else sometimes. That's all. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, since the last time you visited us, that was right about, you know, heading into a big election year. Mm-hmm. We do now have a female vice president. I know it's been almost 250 years.
Right?
So Tracy, it's great to visit with you and catch up, and we wish you well in your endeavors and commend you on them. Is the best way for people to keep up with all things Quiet Rebel to check out quietrebellife.com? Is that kind of like the key to access?
That would be the easiest key to access. But I am, as they say, Googleable. So if you just search for Tracy with an I-E, J-A-E is my last name, it's easy to find me.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Well, fantastic. Tracy J., we want to thank you so much for joining us on this special In Exile edition of Open Journal.
Thank you.
All right. Well, it is time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley. We thank you for supporting this community station. Thank you especially for supporting KPFT's Open Journal, this program on this community station. And if you'd like to, well, kpft.org, the access point for that. And if you just scroll on down, put in the little memo zone, Open Journal, we'd appreciate that. Whenever you feel the urge to merge with the community. Thank you again. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Our program archive is available through kpft.org. And please subscribe to our podcast, KPFT OJ. We are a dedicated all-volunteer production staff, including Rambling Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick. Open Journal theme music by Kevin McLeod. Join us on Open Journal next time for more great conversations.
And as always, we like to leave you with a thought to carry you through the week. This comes to us from Haile Selassie, who said, "Throughout history, it has been the inaction of those who could have acted, the indifference of those who should have known better, the silence of the voice of justice when it mattered most, that has made it possible for evil to triumph." Take care of each other. Peace.